From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
And we begin another hour of the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, sitting in Bill's chair today until he's got this chair broken in. It's Bill's chair. I think, does it have a nameplate on the back? It might. So I hope he doesn't mind, but I'm sitting in his chair right now. He will be back on Monday. The Packers and Bears will play Sunday. And, of course, if you've been following your local sports world throughout the week, then you know that there was a significant baseball event that was taking place this week as well out in Las Vegas. Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this. Oh, there it is.
Bright lights, they're going to set my soul, going to set my soul on fire.
Got a whole Viva Las Vegas. Ready to
burn, so was it warm there?
No. No.
Was it in the 60s at least?
No. the last like day or two during the day it was. So, for those that don't know, I snuck out there. I just, nothing big. I did it very low key. I just wanted to see the winter meetings. I wanted to see how it looked.
Yeah.
It's a spectacle. It is an absolute spectacle. So picture this. Hanging out in Mandalay Bay, just hanging out in the lobby, just watching all the craziness go by. And it's literally like, you know, oh, there goes Don Mattingly. There goes Council. There goes Gabe Kapler. There goes Bruce Bochy, because the managers were doing a picture. So every NL manager just walked by you, just like, hey, yeah, how's it going? And then there's this gigantic Christmas tree, like, seriously, 30-foot-tall Christmas tree. And they, in front of it, they put down these equipment boxes. You familiar with what I'm talking about? Like, they're a foot or two high?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, this is a TV trick. If you have a short person, they stand on a box and it evens out the height with a taller person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this does happen. So these boxes come out. And I'm like, someone short is about to come out and stand on these boxes. Who is this? Every camera from here to Thailand comes around and gathers around. And I mean, it's like a 4 or 5 row, you know what I mean? You're like one circle around the boxes, then a second circle around it, you know. It was Scott Boras. And I'm looking at this, just gawking at it. I'm like, you know what? Bryce Harper is about to sign. And I'm about to see it firsthand as a total coincidence standing right in front of me. And Boras gets up on his box and spends an hour and a half talking about the climate of baseball. Because he does. That's his holding court time, you know, during the winter meetings. But it's amazing stuff. And you'll see everybody from the broadcasters to managers. You'll see the occasional player. I didn't see a ton of players there, but there are a few. And then just other baseball personnel. You know, David Stearns is just walking by.
Lingering around.
Making trades. Well, maybe more appropriately, making a trade.
Alex Claudio.
Yeah. Little lefty from Texas.
I like that move.
I do, too.
I do.
Little soft-tossing lefty.
Yeah.
Don't you get the sense he's going to be kind of fun to cover? You know, like a guy that in the seventh inning, you'll have a lefty for some other team that comes up, big power threat, and you'll have him in there throwing those little change-ups at him, little 76-mile-an-hour change-ups. I don't know.
As long as he's better than Dan Jennings and Cedeno. I mean, as long as he's better than them, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
He was, I believe he was the pitcher of the year for the Rangers in 2017.
Really?
Or reliever of the year or something.
Closer for a while, right?
Yeah, the numbers he put up in 2017 were very, very good. Very good. And he's mainly been a reliever his entire career. So I like the move. You gave up a draft pick in return, which I think they're saying it's like the 36th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, a little competitive balance.
Right,
pick.
Yeah. In the A, I think.
And that's actually good for both sides because the Brewers get an immediate help, a piece that can help you today, and the Rangers get a throw at the dartboard to see if the next star is out there. Why not? I think it's a good way to go. It also is a good indication of where you are as a franchise if you're the Brewers, that you're okay giving up a pick like that to have something right now. But that was it. Vegas was Scott Boras for 2 hours and that, Alex Claudio, and that was it.
That was it.
That was all that happened. There were a few rumors floating around, but there's nothing else. Did that? Were you disappointed? Were you hoping they would?
No, no, not at all.
You didn't have any expectation for it?
No. You know what? I just coming off this high, and after what the Brewers were able to accomplish this season, you just look at the roster. You look at contracts. You look at years of control for these guys, and you really don't lose many players. And that's the thing. It's not like Josh Hader was in a contract season and now he's about to get paid.
Yeah.
Or Christian Yelich is about to get paid. Christian Yelich is under contract for another 4 years. Lorenzo Cain under contract for another 4 years. Your pitchers, all these young pitchers that there were questions about, you know, these top pitching prospects that we raved about, but what would they bring at the big league level? I mean, to see guys like Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff all step up in big ways in the postseason,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big indicator where you have to go, I think you're fine with these guys going into next season. I'm willing to take that gamble. These are all guys that are cheap, rookie contracts under team control for multiple years. Why do you need to go out and pay anyone big money? I just really don't see the need for it. And the Brewers have said it themselves, that they're not really going to be spending big money. I just don't feel like there is some sort of emphasis out there, Kevin, where there is one particular position that they absolutely need, and they need to go after the best possible guy.
Yeah.
You know, second baseman is the biggest hole.
Right.
But just find me any kind of stopgap guy who's got numbers that works for me and can at least produce for the next year or two before Keston Hira is ready to go. Because then you fill him, and now he's with your team for the next 5-6 years.
Is the stopgap too low if he's reasonable, Troy Tulowitzki?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
He's 34.
If he wants to play second base.
Yeah. And that's maybe at this stage of the game. Look, I think you have an insight into what his value is, where the Blue Jays owe him this much money. It was almost $40 million, it's like $30-something million that they owe him regardless. But they decided he wasn't worth the roster spot. Okay, so they clear the roster spot and save all that money. So I'm just saying, if he's reasonable, maybe he would be open to, you know, this. You don't go into this expecting to get the Tulo of his Rockies days. I'm just saying he's a stopgap at second base. I don't know. That's an interesting thought, to have Tulo as a stopgap. There are probably better options who naturally play the position. But that does intrigue me. And that happened during the winter meetings. Tulo got released. But I think my disappointment is not so much with any lack of movement on the Brewers' part. My disappointment is with how glacial the offseason has become in baseball. And it happened last offseason, where we started spring training with like 36 free agents that were, some of them high profile guys that were not signed.
Yeah.
That had to go and start their own spring training. You know, they had the free agent, there was some term for it, but it was the free agent team's spring training camp down in Bradenton or somewhere down in Sarasota in Florida. And I hope we don't have another offseason like that, because it used to be that the winter meetings, they were planned specifically to have the peak of activity. Like, your main free agents had either just signed or were about to sign. And the winter meetings were about pulling off these trades because, you know, once the top options are off the board, teams start going for what's behind them. The top options are not off the board. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still sitting there. And they can only go to one team each, unless they figure out cloning. You know, they're only going to go to one team each. It may be the same team.
And Bryce Harper said no to $300 million.
Right. So until that's fixed, until that's done, there are things that can't get done. Because if you're a team that wanted Bryce Harper and you miss him, now you have to act aggressively on whoever's next on your list. So that's where my disappointment comes in, is that the movement has become slow in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And mid-December doesn't... This used to be the hottest part of the hot stove. And now it's Alex Claudio. No offense, Alex. I'm going to enjoy covering you, I think. But that should not be the the height of what we're talking about right now. We should be talking about trades, and you know the Kluber thing should have some sort of development to it at this point. Madison Bumgarner was out there as a possibility. Those are the things that should be not just talked about, but happening right now. And they're not, because the movement has gotten so slow.
Well, all I really care about is finding a second baseman, maybe upgrading catcher. If they sign Wilson Ramos, I'm fine with that. And if you add a couple extra arms to the bullpen, I'm fine with that. And then you can reassess during the season if you're the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, if there is, if you really need help to your starting rotation, if some guys are not getting it done the first couple of months, then fine. If Madison Bumgarner can come at a reasonable price, because he would only be a rental for the 2019 season, then maybe you make that move. But in the meantime, I'm fine just keeping the band together and not going crazy here, because I just don't feel like there's a need. Remember, last year, too, you didn't get Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich till January. Mm-hmm. They weren't winter meeting deals.
Right.
So maybe there is some kind of secret deal. I know David Stearns explores everything. He looks at every possible thing. I'm sure he looked into Manny Machado and Bryce Harper just for the hell of it. I'm sure he's looking into Corey Kluber just for the hell of it. But I don't think he's going to make those kind of moves, because he has a price. You know, he's just, especially after what happened to the Jonathan Scope thing, he gave up a steep price for Scope, and he admitted he made a bad deal. So maybe a move like that, maybe he rethinks future moves that he does, and can he get the most out of a particular player as long as he's given up, you know, what he thinks is worth it. Don't know.
Yeah, and that's going to take some time to unfold.
Right. It's going to, yeah.
It's just, it wasn't going to happen in Las Vegas.
Right. I think we can encourage Brewer fans that everything is okay if the Brewers don't make any moves. It's okay.
Look,
it's fine.
Let me frame it this way for anybody that feels that, you know, that disappointed that anything didn't happen in Las Vegas. The Brewers franchise has been defined to this point. Its best moments have been defined by how they handle frontline starting pitching. 2008 happened because of the trade for CC Sabathia. It was a good team that became a playoff team because CC was incredible. 2011 happened because Doug Melvin went out and got Zach Greinke and Sean Markham, and he gave up a ton, but he got him to the postseason. He got him really close to a World Series that year. So the Brewers know that acquiring a frontline starting pitcher in free agency is going to cost more than the franchise can pay. Cannot pay Clayton Kershaw. That's not in the financial confines of what this franchise can do.
Right.
You can trade for frontline starting pitching, and that does work temporarily. CC left. Zach Greinke was gone the next year. Sean Markham's arm fell off. You know, that happened. So now they're at this era of the franchise where they're defining starting pitching by just not going after frontline starting pitching. You know, they're making it to the postseason by putting those resources in the bullpen and putting resources into how to win games without the frontline starting pitcher, the shifts and how you do things on defense and your dependence on the bullpen and the usage and the roles and so on. This is a different era for the Brewers, and it's not essential anymore, in my mind, that they have to go find a Clayton Kershaw in some form. You can develop someone like that. If you do, then you've got a huge bonus. For those that are not, you know, that are scared to death about, like, Corey Kluber isn't here, the 2019 is going to be terrible. No, it's not going to be terrible.
No.
It's going to be good, and it's because the Brewers are redefining how they approach it.
Well, who says Corbin Burnes can't be the next Corey Kluber?
Sure. There's some good young, I like Woodruff,
yeah.
Burnes. These are good young arms, and I mean, who knows? No matter what the organization, you don't just like, oh, hey, here's a Corey Kluber on a tree. Let's pick that apple and go. It's not how it works, right? You develop all these pitchers and hope that one of them is Kluber. And sometimes none of them are.
You know? On the other side of the break, can I go through all the free agent second basemen that are out there?
Yes, let's do that, because I think, here's the thing. I think people right now are saying, well, you know, they need a second base and they need a catcher. But I don't know if people have dug deep enough to think about what's out there and what would fit. So, this is off-season Jobermetrics, the second base edition, next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical. Hey, guys, if you're still struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by this pill or that pill out there. ED can be caused by many underlying health issues or just maybe normal aging. The problem is with the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem, and they have some nasty side effects. Call the medical experts at New Mail Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results in the first visit. Otherwise, that first visit is free. And if you're sluggish, you're moody, you're foggy, and your stamina is really low like I had, that could be low T. Thanks to Numail, plenty of energy to tackle my crazy life and crazy lifestyle. And if you want to shed some pounds, check out Numail's all-in-one weight loss program. I'm down over 50 pounds, and I've kept it off. It's great. I feel younger. I'm getting back in the game. Guys, call Numail Medical Center today. Give them a buzz. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Call them today. 414-455-4451.
Talking winter meetings on the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden, CBS 58. So the Brewers were in Vegas for a few days. David Stearns was talking to some other general managers, talking swaps, talking deals. One went down. Brewers got Alex Claudio, but they have laid the groundwork, in his words and David Stearns' words, for future deals to be made this offseason. If I ever believed anyone when they said that, it's David Stearns. This dude is not afraid to pull off a trade and not afraid to acquire the pieces that he needs, and that's been fun to watch. I think if there's one piece, Joe, is starting pitching aside and how you view all that, if there's one piece this team has been after for this particular year, it's a second baseman. The thought is Travis Shaw is back to third and Moose is gone, and you need a second baseman. Who do they get?
Here's who you got. Ian Kinsler is available. He's now 37 years old. Daniel Murphy is 34 years old. Astrubel Cabrera, 33. DJ LeMahieu is 30. That guy's going to want a long-term deal, though.
Yeah.
Jed Lowry, who had a really good season for the A's, he's 35 years old.
Wow. I guess. He's been around a while.
Yeah. I feel like he's younger, but
yeah
35. Huh. Josh Harrison of the Pirates, 31.
He's only 31.
Only 31.
I feel like he's been in the league longer than Jed Lowry.
I might be fine with a Josh Harrison. Logan Forsyth, 32. Brian Dozier, 32. Neil Walker. Neil Walker.
That worked out actually all right for the Brewers last time.
That was a great move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... still didn't get him in the postseason, but Neil Walker was awesome. That was a really good trade. He did nothing for New York last year.
Yep.
So Neil Walker's there. Daniel Descalso, 32. Gordon Beckham, 32 years old.
32, wow.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Adam Rosales, he is 36 and a free agent. If you want 38-year-old Brandon Phillips.
No. The answer is no.
He's available.
Yeah.
And then everyone's favorite Milwaukee Brewer, Eric Sogard.
Yeah. All right, so that's where you are.
Those are your second basemen that are available on free agency right now.
So who jumps out?
For me, Daniel Murphy does. But again, the one thing about Daniel Murphy is his defense. It's a little sketchy. But his bat, especially at Miller Park, oh, would I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, would I love that.
He can hit.
I would be fine with that. If Daniel Murphy wants to sign a one-year contract with the Milwaukee Brewers, I'm perfectly fine with that move.
Yeah.
Josh Harrison, like I mentioned, I would be fine with him. You're not going to sign LeMahieu to a long-term deal.
Yeah, and I think that's the name that stands out to me, but it's also by far the biggest commitment, and it doesn't fit. Keston Hure is your future at second base. If you feel that way, then LeMahieu you can't do.
And I mean, I'd be fine with a Jed Lowry or a Brian Dozier, as long as it's at the right price. And I would, honestly, I'd give Neil Walker another shot. That is someone you could probably get even cheaper now based on the fact he didn't really produce much last year. And this was a guy that was making, you know, over $10 million in his last contract. If you can get Neil Walker at the right price, I'm sure he'd want to come back to Milwaukee. I know he liked his time here.
How old is he now?
Neil Walker is 33.
Okay. So that's, it's workable. Again, we're talking about the Brewers adding a second baseman with the idea, and maybe we're making an assumption here, but the idea that Keston Hira is the future at second base, and at some point, Hura takes that over. And that's not going to be opening day. David Stearns has already said Hura is not the immediate answer at second base.
Right.
So it might be halfway through the year. It might be all the way through the year. I also think what Stearns does is going to tip his hand as to how they feel about Hura. If they go and sign someone that to a two-year deal, for example, then they want to develop Hura a little bit. But if they go very light on that deal, if they sign someone to a one-year deal or someone who's not, just a real short stopgap option at second base, then they're thinking about Hura as a big leaguer really quickly. I think, honestly, the one signing will tell you how they feel about the other. I don't mind Neil Walker at all. LeMahieu would be fun, but no, it doesn't fit. If Keston Hira is your future, then DJ LeMahieu, what's that going to be? 5 years? 5 year deal, you think? Six?
I'm sure he'd want at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot.
I the thing you have to remember too with a small market team, you know, it's nice to be paying guys left and right, but at some point you have to have your limits. And when you want to sign some of these other guys that are, you know, under 2-3 years of control with really cheap deals, at some point, if you want to keep them, you're going to have to pay them as well.
Yeah.
You got to really manage the money of which guys are going to get paid top dollar. I mean, when Ryan Braun finally comes off the books in a couple of years, that's going to give you some wiggle room to sign another one of your key core pieces to a long-term deal,
mm-hmm.
Who deserves that money. But they got to be very careful about this. They're not the Cubs. They're not going to have a $200, $300 million payroll, guys. It's okay. Just not going to happen. And Mark Adonasio, he wants to win. We all know this. He wants to win.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to get as many good players as he can, but he has a limit, too, on how much he can spend as an owner.
Yeah.
It's a business. You know, it's...
You don't have the same revenue stream. The Dodgers have their own television network. The Yankees have their own television network.
Right.
The Brewers have a rights deal with Fox Sports Wisconsin.
But it's not a $1 billion TV contract.
Not even close.
No.
No, so you're not in that range.
No.
It's just, and that's what, you know, people, I think, might take offense to that whole idea. You know, a small market team. No, right. That's the economics of the game.
They make millions of dollars every right. year, hundreds of millions of dollars. How can you not go? There's more that goes into that. There's more costs than you think.
Yes, absolutely.
So, again, I just, sitting here now, the Brewers, to me, they don't have to make a big move here between now and the start of spring training. I'm not going to be crying over that. I just, they are so deep at many different spots. You just got to shore up a couple of places.
Yeah.
And then reassess where they are in a couple of months into the season.
And I think a lot of David Stearns' offseason is not paving potholes, but rather sort of scanning the horizon, right? If there is a deal for a frontline starting pitcher, I'm not saying they're opposed to that idea.
Right.
Corey Kluber would be awesome.
Of course.
We'd throw a parade. You and me. We would throw a parade.
But I'm not giving up Keston Hira for Corey Kluber.
And so therein lies the deal, right? You want to get a frontline starting pitcher. And again, this has been the Brewers thing for a long time. One avenue is to trade for it. But to get Greinke, it was a ton of people. You remember, it was Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, Jeffress was involved in that deal, and then the righty that was pitching for the Twins,
Odorizzi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a haul for what essentially was one really good year and a half of a pretty good year, and then a trade for Greinke. You know, like, that was it. He was gone before the end of 2012 because they couldn't sign him.
Right.
The frontline starting pitching, how you handle it is going to have a lot to do with their success or failure in the years to come. And I like how they handled it in 2018. I hope they can do that again in 2019. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Coming up, we've got Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter. We'll have that next.
This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Out and about again this year, the Bill Michaels Huddle is back. And look for us at a pub near you sometime soon. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd. That's Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our good friends at Cousins. They have the new Euros from Cousins right now. Mouth-watering, scrumptious. Your choice of Euro meat or chicken with great seasoning. Both served with the Wisconsin feta cheese, fresh cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, slathered with the Greek yogurt tzatziki sauce, and then stacked on the freshly baked Italian bread. So rescue your taste buds. Check out our friends from Cousin Subs. It's limited time only, by the way. Go to CousinSubs.com or download the app. Again, for a limited time only, that is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Stepping over to the network here to fill in for Bill for the day. We've been kind of going in two directions, right? Talking Packers winter, or talking Packers Bears, and then talking Brewers and winter meetings. And let's talk a little Packers from the Bears' point of view. Mark Grody, the Chicago Bears sideline reporter from 670 The Score, joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mark, how's it going?
Good, Kevin. Yeah, I was just thinking about the different directions, the unpredictable directions that the Bears and Packers have taken since that Sunday night game at Lambeau Field, where Aaron Rodgers did a number on the Bears after they were up, and I would not have predicted that the two seasons for the Bears and Packers would be where they are as we're speaking right now.
Yeah, it's amazing that when, at that moment, I think in Wisconsin they were thinking 13-3, and in Chicago you're sort of reassessing. But it's interesting because it almost feels like when Rodgers did what he did in that first week, that there was a bit of toughness that developed within the Bears. It wasn't something that broke them down. It was something that built them up.
Yeah, you know, the interesting part about that is that I remember that week of practice at Hallis Hall. I mean, you know how it works that, like, you know, after any game, you spend maybe a day or two talking about the previous game, then it's on to the next. I mean, we were talking about that loss to the Packers. The Bears players were, and media was, through Thursday, basically. So it wasn't even on to the next opponent, which was, I believe, Seattle, until, like, Friday. So I'd never seen that before, and they wore it for a while. And, you know, some of the players that I talked to throughout the week said that game did shape the Bears' demeanor and attitude and understanding that you absolutely have to be able to finish. It's such a cliche thing when we say it in the media that they didn't finish, but it was the players that were leading that call after that loss to Green Bay.
So instead of having the arrow point downward as we thought it might for the Bears, it's been the other way around. They've pieced together a fine season. The Packers' arrow went in completely the opposite direction, and now from a momentum standpoint, the Bears are coming off this performance against the Rams that, I mean, I don't want to use the term dropping jaws because it's kind of, I mean, this was a Bears defense that's done some really great things this year, but this was at a different level.
It was at a different level. I mean, just let this sink in. You did not allow the Los Angeles Rams and Jared Goff and that offense a single touchdown in the game. So, yeah, that was a coming out party for the Bears. It was a different level. And I said going into that game, I absolutely thought that the Rams were the better team, and they may very well still be the better team when it comes to just analyzing the Bears and the Rams. But it was kind of easy for me to predict that the Bears would probably win that game just because they had the chip on their shoulder for that game. They needed it more. They wanted it more. All that stuff was actually real for that game in terms of the playoffs for the Bears, and they hear all the stuff about how they haven't beaten anybody this year on the NFL schedule this side of the Minnesota Vikings on a Sunday night game. So that game just meant a lot to the Bears, and, yeah, they are hyper-talented on defense too.
This thought of the Bears with Khalil Mack, the Bears sort of returning to what we've known from previous years, it's a daunting task to try to fight Khalil Mack. We know about the talents as a player, but the mesh seems like it's been good too. Not just the player mesh, but the person mesh with the rest of that defense, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when he came in, before he even stepped foot on the practice field, the one thing that all the players were saying, the coaches were saying, was, yeah, this is a guy that's going to make everybody better. And sometimes when we hear that, it doesn't play out that way. It is completely played out that way. I mean, you have to be responsible for Khalil Mack at every minute that he is out there, whether you're double-teaming him or not, whether he's the one having the big game or not. He is still the one that you, if you are an offensive lineman or a tight end or whatever the case may be, you have to be obsessed with that man. And then you have other guys on this team that have really sprouted into borderline great players, Like, Akeem Hicks has been absolutely terrific this year. Eddie Jackson, the Bears' second-year safety, has obviously had an all-pro season so far, as has cornerback Kyle Fuller, whom I know that the Packers had made an offer to. And, you know, so there's a lot of legitimacy to this team. And then Khalil Mack comes in. So you go from, like, a top 10 defense to a top 5 defense when Khalil Mack comes in. The effect has been real.
Mark Grody, the Chicago Bears sideline reporter, 670 The Score, joining us here on the Bill Michaels Show. Joe and I, we chat back and forth, you know, as the show goes on, and Joe has mentioned that this is a very big game. It's an important game, and it's not because it's for the NFC North. It's not because it's for positioning, but there's a balance of power that seems to be at stake here. Is that the same feeling on the Illinois side of this?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't remember the last time that that was the feeling of the fan base, that you have, you know, let's face it, the Packers have tortured the Bears since Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre did a number on the Bears, and Aaron Rodgers has done a number on the Bears. It hasn't been since the 1980s that the Bears really dominated this rivalry or felt some sort of satisfaction in it. So, yeah, it's extremely significant in that regard, and I think that it's because of that man, the tenor of Bears fans is not one of being super cocky, to be honest with you. It's sort of a nervousness because it's still freaking Aaron Rodgers. So you know, a lot of fans are like, oh, you got to be careful, you know. I think everybody's getting a little bit, you know, overconfident and all that kind of stuff. So there's not an assumption, believe me, from the Bears fan base that they're just going to topple the Packers in this game. Quietly, that is what they are desiring and obsessed with. But, you know, it's sort of like, let's see it happen, and then if it does, then we'll make some statements about, you know, dramatic statements about the changing of the guard and all that kind of thing.
And with January as something that's happening, you know, the preparations there in Chicago are for January. It's going to be a January there. Has that changed a bit of the confidence? I mean, this is still a big game, you know, for reasons other than playoff positioning, but the fact that it doesn't end on December 30th, does that change the mindset of the team or the organization at all?
Absolutely. I mean, they're not going to give too much on that because, you know, they're going to give the next game mentality. But, yeah, it slipped out of the players' minds or out of their mouths about, you know, the postseason. And even if they are not to clinch the division, if something goes terribly wrong from the Bears' perspective, you know, they're still most likely going to be a wild card. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, I think most people going into this season, realistic, the best anybody would really pick would have been 9-7, and I think that was very few people, and that was extremely optimistic. You know, 8-8, 7-9. I think I picked somewhere around there, probably 7-9. So, a lot of this is just, you know, extra. This is sort of dessert, I think, for Bears fans. And, you know, not that they don't expect them to go deeply into it. There is a little bit of satisfaction in just knowing that they're going to be going to the playoffs, just sort of that happy-to-be-there mentality.
Mark, appreciate the time. Great insights. This is going to be a fun, fun game Sunday. See you down at Soldier Field.
All right, Kevin. Thanks, man.
Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter, 670 The Score. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. He's a good interview. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, Mark's a guy that, you know, I always use the baseball terms. I could throw a changeup, a knuckleball. I think he could hit all of them.
Mark, this is his first year as the Bears sideline reporter.
Yeah.
He was covering the Cubs for a while.
Okay.
Down there, and they switched roles. So him and Zach Zabin was covering the Bears for years. They just switched spots, and now Zach covers the Cubs, and Mark covers the Bears.
Just a little infusion, right? A little change up.
That's quite a transition, though, when you think about
it. Yeah.
Because you're focusing on one sport, and that's it.
Right.
And now you change it, and now you got to get caught up. I mean, obviously, you're from Chicago, so you have some idea of what's been going on with the opposite team, but
Not 100%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know how it is. You go to Green Bay, and you see stuff inside the locker room on a Sunday game day, or if you go during the week. And if you're not covering that team on a regular basis, you don't know that. Like, anybody on the outside of Green Bay would not understand that there was an issue earlier this year with Jimmy Graham and speaking to the media, because it was brought up for a minute and then it was gone. And I believe he's spoken some since then, but it's interesting, right? Like, those are things that you would not know unless you're paying really, really close attention if you don't cover the team on a regular basis. So Mark Grody's just jumped right in, first year with the Bears. He's brought them some good luck, so he might be staying on that beat for a little while. How about a little switch up of Chicago sports? Because there's a former Wisconsin sports figure that kind of struggling a little bit there on the other side of the border, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Sometimes a ride around the block, just not enough. That's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program available at any of their FCA locations in Plymouth or Manitowoc or Stoughton. You can take a ride in a brand new Ram 1500, a Jeep Grand Cherokee, Dodge Charger, Dodge Grand Caravan, or even a Chrysler Pacifica. 90 days, no obligation. I did it. I was fantastically floored. If you're not satisfied, you can return it with no additional commitment, or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. I just picked up a luxury car. I've been saying this for a long time. It's a luxury car wrapped in a 2019 Ram pickup truck, but I got it from the folks at the Truck Center in Plymouth, and I love this thing. Check out VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com, and shop all the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive. VanHornAuto.com, exclusively at Van Horn Automotive.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Ago was hurt. Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Sitting in the chair just for today. Bill is back Monday. Well, he's back Sunday. As Joe has pointed out, the Green and Gold post-game show. By the way, this is something you and I have not talked about, Joe. The Green and Gold post-game show has a time slot that it fills. In other words, it's just like anything, right? You're on from this time to this time. And that time slot ended two Sundays ago at 6 o'clock, did it not? Show ended at 6? Is that your norm? I might be overstepping my bounds.
If it was a noon kickoff, it would have been over at 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 5 o'clock.
3 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Because I was... thinking back to the day that Mike McCarthy was let go. And we had a show, CBS 58 has a newscast that airs from 5:30 to 6. And I didn't know if you guys were on until 6. I think there's some others that are on until 6. The announcement came at 6:01. That's when we got the release, the press release.
Oh, about the firing.
Yeah, 6:01. Right. So, and no, that's not a criticism. That is extremely... well thought out placement is what that is.
Well, locally, we decided that we were going to get reaction right away. So we had some of our guys from our flagship station in Milwaukee on the Fan. They came in around 7 o'clock and did a show that centered around the firing. We wanted to get reaction right away, and there was a lot of reaction, let me tell you. A lot of people were listening into that show.
You're getting phone calls. You're getting all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. This is the moment that you've been preparing for. You just expected that it would happen on December 31st.
Right.
And it didn't. Okay. Real quick, Joe. Jabari Parker. It's been announced, it was an ESPN article, that Parker is coming out of the regular rotation of the Chicago Bulls. Parker has been a Bull, regular season terms, for fewer than 2 months. He's been a Bull for about, 7 weeks? Out of rotation. Already! I got to admit that I was wrong about this. I thought Jabari Parker would go to Chicago and flourish. I thought being home was something that was significant for him. You know, I thought that might, from a mindset standpoint, you know, whatever was going on during the playoffs would be gone and he would be a different guy. Nope. Out of the rotation, Joe.
From Jim Boylan, their interim head coach, he says, going forward, Jabari's part of our team, and it's not about the individual, it's about the team. It's about playing your minutes the best you can. We'll see what his minutes are going forward. This was coming off the game in Mexico City where they played the Magic. Jabari Parker only played 4 minutes in the first half. He did not play at all in the second half. Jabari Parker was asked about it, and he called it a surprise. Quote, "It is a surprise because I did everything I could in the time I was given, but it is what it is. You can't pout. You just got to keep moving."
Yeah.
That was from Jabari Parker. But when you talk about a Bulls team, Kevin, that is horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible, dysfunctional. You need to clean the house out. You know, and this Jim Boylan now is really running these players into the ground with what they're doing at practice, running all these ridiculous drills. This team is terrible, and Jabari Parker can't even see minutes. What does that say about Jabari Parker? Jabari Parker came out during the offseason after he was with the Bulls and was talking about how, you know, defense doesn't really mean a hill of beans to him.
Wow.
I mean,
that makes for terrible video, too. You see it every other game where it's like, he's standing there waving with,
you know,
looking like a broken video game character.
I'll tell you what, John Horst got it right.
Yep.
And at the time, it didn't feel right because you felt like you gave Jabari away for nothing. But I'll tell you what, John Horst got it right. And good riddance. Good riddance.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want that right now on your team, and you're happy with where the Bucks are without him.
Right.
Don't have to sweat it. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We've got plenty more of the Bill Michaels Show, so don't go anywhere. We're back in a few minutes.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.